Paul.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. We had a little technical glitch here.
Yeah, it looks like it.
I hope everybody's with us. My name's Denny Griffin. Welcome to Las Vegas and the Mob on Blog Talk Radio. And for the next about 43 minutes now, I'll be your host for a special edition tonight. And we're going to be discussing two homicides that took place in McHenry County, Illinois in 1981. And in the way of background, let me start out by providing some information to the listeners. On the evening of June 2nd, 1981, two people were found shot to death in the living room of an apartment at the rear of the PM Pub located at 238 West Rand Road, Lakemore, Illinois. The victims were the tavern's owner, 37-year-old Ronald Scharf, and barmaid Patricia Freeman. Lakemore was a community of around 800 at the time, and is situated about 45 miles northwest of Chicago. These were the first reported homicides there since its incorporation in 1952. Shortly after the killings, McHenry County Sheriff's investigators had a couple of suspects in the slayings. Jim Hager, a friend of Ron Scharf, advised them that if they wanted to solve the murders, they should look at either Freeman's boyfriend or a guy named Larry Newman. The latter was a McHenry County man then living in Las Vegas. Newman, a burglar, robber, arsonist, and all-around tough guy, was working for the Chicago outfit enforcer Tony Spilotro in Sin City. Newman had previously been convicted of a 1956 triple murder in Illinois. And although he received a sentence of 125 years, he had miraculously been paroled after serving only about 16 years. Hager had thrown Newman's name into the mix because he had witnessed an altercation between Scharf and Newman's ex-wife, in which Scharf threw the woman out of his bar. Hager felt that to a guy like Newman, the incident could be construed to be a personal insult demanding redress. In 2008, 27 years after his father's murder, Paul Scharf received a phone call from Jim Hager. He was told that Holly Hager, Jim's daughter and Paul's one-time babysitter, had read a book that she believed included a segment on Ron Scharf's killing. Although the names of the victims and the specific location of the crimes weren't included, she felt everything else matched. Jim agreed and reached out to Paul. The book Holly read was Colada, The Life of a Chicago Criminal, Las Vegas Mobster, and Government Witness. On page 130 of that book, she found Colada's account of what turned out to be the Ron Scharf murder. For Paul, who was a young boy in 1981, this was the first time he'd heard the story about Larry Newman being his father's killer. After talking with Jim Hager and reading the book himself, Paul was convinced Newman was the man who took the lives of his father and Pat Freeman. That acceptance has brought him a certain amount of closure. But now he'd like the police to name Newman, who died in prison in January of 2007, as the perpetrator and close out the cold cases. He'd also like an explanation as to why the police seemingly never seriously went after Newman all those years ago. And with me tonight is Paul Scharf himself. Paul, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mr. Griffin? Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you back. We haven't, when were we on last? It was November.
In January.
Okay. And at that time, the investigation had been renewed. Of course, being a homicide, they were never closed out as such. But they had been reinvigorated, and you were expecting, I guess we were all expecting, that there might be some rather rapid action on getting the cases closed and finding Newman to be the killer. So tonight what I want to do is talk about that and talk about the status of the case, what's happened, and what your understanding is of where the police are in their renewed investigation. Now, Holly Hager was your babysitter at one point, and you still keep in touch with her today, do you?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And Jim Hager was one of your dad's friends, and also would frequent the tavern, I guess.
Correct.
Okay. So right after the murders in June of 81, Jim Hager did provide information to the police that they should look at a couple of people. One would be Pat Freeman's boyfriend, And the second would be Larry Newman. Am I correct on that?
You are.
Okay. And do you know now what happened to the information that Jim Hager gave the cops in McHenry County back in 1981?
I'm not really sure. It seems like that information got lost somehow. But Jim definitely provided that information to McHenry County sheriffs because at one time he was considered a suspect. And as soon as he found that out, he made contact with them immediately and, you know, clarified who he felt like may have killed my father and Patricia Freeman.
And there was a subsequent development that we were aware of, and that after Jim Hager, shortly after the homicides, threw Newman's name into the equation, the former mobster, Frank Collada, who had been Tony Spilotro's lieutenant in Las Vegas, had flipped and become a government witness. And as part of his plea deal to get into witness protection, he had to agree to provide any information he had about any of his associates. And he was in the federal lockup in San Diego being debriefed, and he told his FBI handlers that about the murder of your dad and Pat Freeman. And he then, so this was in 1982, approximately a year after the murders, he gave them Newman's name. And he said that Newman, in fact, had been present, Frank had, when Newman received a call in Las Vegas from his ex-wife reporting that she had had problems in a tavern in McHenry County. And Newman was very upset, said he was going to go back and kill the bastard that offended his wife and roughed her up because it had been a sign of disrespect to him. He did, in fact, go to McHenry County shortly after that and returned and admitted to Collada that he had killed your father and Pat Freeman. And that information, the FBI, once they got that information from Frank, they contacted McHenry County authorities. Two officials, possibly a prosecutor and a detective, allegedly went to the federal lockup in San Diego and got additional information. And do you know if that information was ever acted on?
Well, it seemed like that information was actually kind of frowned upon. I know that I've looked at a few articles that were written back in 1982 about Frank's statements, and there was definitely a tone of unenthusiasm by McHenry County in those articles that I had read.
So you'd be under the impression that they didn't take the information seriously or for some other reason didn't do anything with it?
Well, they stated in the articles that they had another suspect that they felt like might have been the murderer. And the information that Frank provided, for whatever reason, they didn't find it credible or they weren't interested, and it didn't seem to move anywhere, and it certainly didn't seem to go ahead and match up to Jim Hager's statement a year later. It seems as if they had done that, there would have been a match, and Larry Newman certainly would have been named a suspect at the very least.
Okay, Paul, hold on just a second. We have someone else on the line. 815
sure.
Area, you're on?
Hi, it's Holly.
Holly, good. I'm glad you could join
Sorry,
us.
Sorry, I'm late.
No problem. And for our listeners, Holly Hager, who I mentioned in the opening, who was at one point Paul's babysitter and is Jim Hager's daughter, who happened to be reading the book last summer, has joined us on the line. So, Holly, welcome. Glad to have you back with us.
Glad to be able to call. I'm sorry I was a little late.
Okay, no problem.
Hi, Holly.
Hi, Paul. What did I miss?
Not much. We're just warming up.
Okay.
And you avoided a technical glitch. We're about two minutes late getting on. So.
Okay.
Anyway, glad you could make it with us. And let me catch up with you a little bit here. Now, you would you tell us again about how you were reading the book over the summer and what happened, what you saw, and what you did?
I was reading the book Colada, and when I came across the part that without the details talked about the murders of Ron and Pat, it was familiar to me. I knew just what it was, and that Larry Newman was the guy who murdered those two, and in McHenry County hadn't ever solved it or didn't know anything about it. So the answer was there in print in the book that you helped write, and it's just surprising that they haven't McHenry County hasn't come through and done anything in the way of solving it.
Now, after you read that section in the book, you obviously was familiar to you, and even though we didn't name the names of the victims, or Frank didn't name the names of the victims, you what then, called your dad to run it by him?
I did, because the whole reason I bought the book and read it was because the old subject came up last summer when my dad was visiting, how Ron and Pat's murders were never solved, and I asked my dad who he thought possibly could have done it, if he had any ideas, and he had mentioned the name, one of the names he mentioned was Larry Newman. Although my dad, didn't really think Larry did it, he said it was a possibility and that Ron was worried about Larry. And when I got home from driving my dad home, I Googled the name Larry Newman and came across an excerpt from the book that was a Larry Newman from McHenry. And I was like, wow, that had to be the same guy. And sure as anything, it was. And, then the story came out, and so there was the answer to it. It's so simple, but, a few people removed, or even one that... And my dad had told me too that he had mentioned Larry's name to McHenry County police when they called, had my dad in for questioning, and so it's just strange that it's all there in black and white, and they had the answer to who committed the murders, that many years ago.
Paul, now, when you got the call from Jim Hager about this, telling you what Holly had discovered, after 27 years, was that kind of a shot out of the blue? Certainly nothing you were expecting, I would assume.
Yeah, no, it definitely was a shot out of the blue. My mouth just dropped, and it took a little bit to take it in. But having gone through what I gone through in 81, I just kind of roll with things. So I just knew that after talking to Jim that I had some work to do. I needed to get a hold of your book. I needed to find out what exactly was in it. And my immediate concern was how graphic was it in the book, and what was I going to tell my family? So I started doing a lot of my own research. I got that book expressed to me, and I started reading it, and prior to actually getting the book itself, I was already convinced based on the research that I'd done at that point.
So you believe that Larry Newman was in fact the killer, just as Frank Colada had said and Jim Hager thought was a possibility?
Absolutely. I mean, there's not too many coincidences that line up like that and still not come out to be true.
Now, let me just say that now that we've gotten some of the basic background in, we will open up the phone lines if anybody would like to call in with a question or comment for Paul or Holly. You can reach us at 646-478-0982, 646-478-0982. And just so we have a pretty active chat room right now, and I see a lot of my friends from Juror 13 are on, and I'm sure we'll be getting some questions from them also. So I'll monitor that, and if I see anything that needs to be asked, I will also address it. So, Paul, after you became aware then, after Holly made her discovery and you were contacted, did you contact McHenry County, or how did they get informed of the new information? Or I should say, it wasn't really new information. It was from 82, but how did they get reminded about it?
Well, you know what, we should probably point that to Holly, because Holly actually tells that better. So, Holly, if you want to go ahead and kind of explain how that happened.
I had mentioned to my sisters that I figured out who, not that I figured out, but I solved the murders, the question of who did it. And my sister Heidi, a couple days later, she called McHenry County to see if, in fact, those murders were still unsolved. And so she called and talked to a detective in McHenry County. And she asked if, actually, she had called McHenry County and asked about unsolved murders from that year. And they said, no, they didn't have anything. And then she called me back to get the names. And I gave her the names of Ron and Pat. And so she called back and said, well, what about these murders? And then right away, a detective called her back and said, hey, what do you know? And she just said, well, you need to read this book, because the answer's in there. And that's what they did, I guess.
So that got the ball rolling.
Yes.
Now, Paul, when we were on before, back in January, you were satisfied, I think, at that point, that McHenry County Police, their cold case people, or their detective division, was back on the case and going full force. And is that the status now, or what do you hear from them now? Do you know what's going on with the investigation?
Well, you know, I'm not part of the investigation, and I'm privy to maybe a little bit more than what everybody else knows. But it's an ongoing investigation. I know that they initially thought that this would be something that they would quickly wrap up, and they're finding out that it's a little bit more of a challenge than that. But they're pressing on. I know at one time they had about 20 detectives who have touched the case, and there is currently 2 detectives that are working the case, is what I'm told.
So they're down from about a max of 20 down to about 2 detectives now, as you understand it?
That is how I understand it, correct.
Okay, now let me ask a question that I'm not quite sure of. Newman passed away in prison in 2007. So Newman is out of jeopardy. He can't be charged with anything or prosecuted for anything. They're still investigating, which means that perhaps they think someone else was involved, or that maybe someone who's alive today could be culpable or involved with the killings.
Well, if we go back, the Sun-Times did an article about the story, and they did get a statement from the undersheriff, Gene Lowry, I believe, and he did state that there looked like there was going to be some possible arrests.
Possible arrests. So, obviously, they think they have some reason to believe that somebody else, and because these were murders, there's not a statute of limitation issue. I guess my curiosity is this, and maybe you know the answer, maybe you don't. Is this an all or nothing situation? And by that I mean, is getting indictments or an indictment against someone today, does that have to be done before they would name Larry Newman as the killer, or could this be a two-part thing, that was separate things? Could they say, okay, we believe we have sufficient information from Collada, from Jim Hager, whatever, that Larry Newman was the killer, so we're going to close the cases out as far as naming a killer, And then a secondary thing, separate issue, related but separate, would be, now let us see if we can indict a person or persons who may have been involved in it. Or does it have to be they got to get the indictment before they can name Newman as the killer? Do you know the answer to that question?
No, and I really wish that I did. That would kind of help me understand what was going on currently with the case a little bit more. But it would seem to be that you could name Larry Newman as the murderer. I would think that there might be enough there, but of course I'm not a legal expert. And if there was to bring some additional charges, you think maybe it'd even be a little bit easier if you already named Newman as the killer. But again, I'm not part of the investigation. I really don't know what that game plan is.
Okay. Would you be, as far as what would satisfy you, would you be satisfied if Newman was named the killer and then if they couldn't indict someone else? I mean, would you at least like that part of the case resolved?
Absolutely. I believe that we should take each win as we can get one. I would definitely, in the honor of my father and Patricia Freeman, would like to have Larry Newman named as the killer because rightfully, or it seems rightfully so, that he is. And then secondly, of course, there was other involvement in this. Then I would like to see those people, if they were involved, I would like to see them brought forward, mainly speaking Larry Newman's ex-wife, since she seems to be the impetus of all this. Thirdly, I would really like to know what had happened back in 1982 when Jim Hager claimed Larry Newman as a potential killer or suspect in the murder of my father, Patricia. And then a year later, Frank Collada does the same thing. These two men don't know each other, and I'm referring to Frank and Jim. They never spoke to each other. They never met, did not even know each other existed. But if you listen to our very first radio show that we all did together where Jim and Frank was on, it was really uncandidly to listen to two men talk about the same event in the same about the same amount of time while they were half the country apart. I felt that was pretty riveting, and it should have been riveting back in 82.
Okay, and in your dealings with the police so far, since the so-called renewed investigation has been underway, has anyone offered or attempted to explain that to you? Has anyone given you an idea of what happened back in 81 and 82?
That I don't believe to be their focus. It's certainly my focus, and I think it's certainly a question that the public should be asking and something that should be looked into, asking why these crimes weren't solved back in 82, but I do not believe it's the current administration's focus at all.
Okay, but at some point you will want an explanation or will ask them for an explanation?
I've expressed myself. I think I'm very candid when I speak, and they should understand that that's what my family and the Freeman family is asking. What happened? What happened in 1982? Why were, Holly's father was my dad's best friend. He got himself easily put on that suspect list. And, you would think a former a double murderer from the town of McHenry, and you got a man who was murdered in McHenry, they knew each other. You think that would have tied them in, as a suspect. But as far as I know, Larry Newman was never named a suspect. But then again, I wasn't part of that investigation either, so I really don't know. But these are the things that we need to have answered.
Absolutely, and I understand, your logic there and why you would want some explanation. Holly, have you been in touch with the police at all, or have they been in touch with you?
No, not at all. They, I don't know what they're doing. I just, as so much time goes by, I'm not a cop. I just wonder what all they have to investigate, because It's all right there. It's all right there. I don't know what the holdup is. And you'd think the delay, you know, I don't know. It's just so clear. So I don't know what they're, you know, if they have more stuff going on or not. But even if they do, that's all clear too, because it's all out there. The people's names are right there. You know, they have access to all that, and there's no mystery to what went on and how it went on. So I just wonder what the holdup is.
Yeah, it's puzzling. I'm sure for Paul, it's got to be frustrating more so than puzzling. Paul, now, in an effort after this thing broke, and in an effort to bring attention to it, you've taken some action on your own. Am I correct? Such as you started a website.
I have actually. The website was donated by Ron Beaver, Beaver Labs. He went ahead and he put that together for us. I've also created a Facebook group that I got to thank people right now. They've done a lot over this weekend. We started promoting them more, and we went from 130 members to, the last I checked, 500 members in a matter of a couple days.
Oh wow!
It's really been impressive on how many people really care and support what's been going on. So yeah, I'm definitely focused on keeping the attention placed on this case, and I don't plan on drawing attention away from it until it's resolved.
And what's the website information for Facebook?
For Facebook, if you're on Facebook, if you do a search on McHenry County 1981, space in between, you should find that easily. Please join. There's also a link within that group to invite your friends to join. Click on that link. It will load up your friends. Any friends that have already been invited or are already part of the group, they'll be grayed out. Click on the ones that are not grayed out and click send. And get them to join and get them involved so we can make sure that this does come to a favorable resolution.
I'm trying to think, because I am trying to think of the best way to do it. Obviously, the police have to be allowed to do their job and whatever they're working on. Certainly, you don't want to impede that in any way. But what... In addition to your website and joining the website and joining the group and encouraging friends to join, what is there anything else people can do to help let McHenry County officials or whoever know that this thing needs to be resolved?
Yeah. I want to say that the public opinion is extremely important. And just to give you an example, I believe that, you know, we did a story with the Northwest Herald, which is the local county paper for McHenry County, and I feel like they really weren't going to do the story, but it was the people that seen it on the Channel 5 News in Chicago, that seen it in the Chicago Sun-Times, who started sending in emails, mail, phone, asking why this wasn't being covered, and because of that, it was covered. I'm going to be posting some contacts of Keith Nygren, the sheriff of McHenry County, the senior editors at the Northwest Herald and the Daily Herald, and I want people to contact them, but I want people to contact them responsibly. I think what I mean by that is that, you know, you can send in an email, and if you go to our group, people actually posted a couple letters that they sent in, and they were right on the mark, and to follow that. We don't want to be berating anybody, because I know that this brings out a lot of emotions in people. But at the same time, we want to show that we're concerned and that we're watching and we have an expectation. But this should be done responsibly. Remember, this is the sheriff's department. So if somebody runs into a problem, they're going to need help. So if you call them and the phone's busy, hang up, try again later. Don't be trying to knock down phone systems or anything like that. Send in an email, write your letter, and, you know, we are on the same side. We want the same thing, you know, but we want transparency. You know, so what I'm advocating is, you know, a responsible advocation of transparency by letting them know that we're watching, and to the editors of the Northwest Herald and to the Daily Herald, to let them know that, you know, the Daily Herald hasn't been covering the story, the Northwest Herald hasn't been following the story, and maybe they should.
Speaking of phone calls and having lines busy and so forth, I just noticed through the chat room that apparently some people have been trying to call in with questions, and apparently whatever glitch we had to start with is continuing because the line is ringing busy. They're getting a busy signal, and in fact we have, wait a minute, we just had a caller come in. Let's see if we got somebody on the line. Hold on. Well, I have a caller from the 317 area and from the 601 area, and now that they're showing up on the switchboard, I can't get them. I can't get them answered. In fact, the 317 caller just. Okay, 601 area code. You're on the line. Go ahead, please.
It's Simon. Hello,
Simon.
Denny.
Welcome.
It was a bit of a battle to get through to you.
So I'm hearing. I'm glad you persevered. And, of course, you know Paul. For those who don't know, this is Simon Barrett, who has his Blog Talk radio show. And welcome to my Blog Talk radio show. And we have, of course, Paul on the line and also Holly Hager. Have you met Holly before, Simon?
Yes, I have indeed. Paul, I have to say that I admire your perseverance with this case. I spent some time riling up Lieutenant Zanke.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure he really enjoyed our conversation.
I'm suspecting that he didn't. I received a phone call from one of the detectives that were managing the case, and I'm suspecting that he probably didn't enjoy your conversation, Simon.
He's got no sense of humor.
Gentlemen, let me interrupt for just one second. I do have two more callers, and I've gone ahead because of the difficulties I'm having, and they are on the line. After Simon is through, then I'll get to the callers from 417 and 317. So, Simon, you go ahead, but I just wanted to let you know that you are the two callers. You are on the line, and we'll get to you in just a minute.
Oh, no. Please go ahead. Please go ahead. I can always talk to Paul another time.
Okay. Well, Simon, hang on with us, will you, please?
I will.
Area code 317.
Yes, I'm here.
And, yes, sir, are you Mr. Freeman?
Yes, I am.
Mr. Freeman, Robert Freeman, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling in. And you are Patricia Freeman's son?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Have you been able to hear our discussion so far?
Well, actually, we were having some problems, and a very good friend of mine, I called him, and he was letting me listen over his internet while I was trying to set up and get a call in with you guys.
So you have heard some of the conversation?
Yes, I've heard quite a bit of it, and I'm familiar, and would like to know that also I spoke to Lieutenant Zinke today, and he's not, again, I don't think he enjoyed our conversation either. He gave me all the assurances that they are going to resolve this. He will not stop until he resolves it. And I said, well, that's good, because we're not going to stop until it is resolved.
Oh, wow.
So, very good. Very good, Robert.
So Lieutenant Zanke's had a difficult day, apparently, with the
He's had a difficult week, Denny.
Okay. Yeah, he's had a difficult week.
Robert, let me ask you, I don't know if you heard this or not, so I'll repeat it to some degree. I was asking Paul if he would consider it some satisfaction and closure to at least, at the minimum, have Larry Newman named as the killer of his dad and your mom. And then if there's an indictment on top of that of somebody who has some involvement, that's great. I mean, that's icing on the cake. But at the minimum of closing the cases out and naming Newman as the killer. What's your position on that from the Freeman side of things? Is that
my position is, number one, I would like the killer named, but I want to stress that I want to make sure it's the proper person. If it's, everything in my heart tells me it's Larry Newman, mm-hmm. and I want to get that named and done and taken care of. Again, and then also, I think we deserve an answer on why it took so long and why everybody ignored information they had in 1982 and 1983. Why in 1982 and 83, when people would call and ask, we were told, there's no information, the information you have is not correct, this case is probably never going to be solved. So those are the kind of answers I would like to see personally.
Well, okay.
If I may, I'd like to make a comment on that, Donnie.
Yes, right.
We've brought this up in other shows, but my mother saw the article in 1982 about Frank Collada and the statements that he made. And if you read these articles, they're very convincing. They sound like they're already completed and done. And my mom called, who was Detective Hendel, who later became Sheriff Hendel, called and asked point blank, did you guys solve my husband's murder? And she was told point blank that what she read in the paper wasn't right and wasn't credible. And I don't know what wasn't right about it. They did go to San Diego, McHenry County did. They did speak to Frank Collada. Frank Collada did provide testimony that actually collaborated with Jim Hager, so I'm not sure what wasn't true about anything that my mom asked about. But she was told point blank by the lead detective, Detective Hendel, that this wasn't credible, this wasn't true.
I'd like to jump in on that real quick as well, just because I was told the exact same thing because I called at the same time. I was given, I read the article and I called and was told there's no truth to it, and that's where he goes on from there.
Okay, we'll get back to that in just a second. We do have another caller on the line. Area code 417, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Hi, guys. This is Kendi, Linda. Sorry.
Hello.
Hello. I have read the Collada book, and I'm on Denny's. I'm just finishing the Mob in Las Vegas book, but my question is, what did you guys think happened at the time?
For motive, you mean?
Yes.
For my family, we heard the whole gambit of things. I know, speaking to Robert's sister, Paula, that it seems to be about the same. It just, whatever could throw out there, it went out there. And, I don't know, Robert, if you wanted to comment on that.
Oh, there was many things thrown out there. I know they not only investigated people from, Ron's side and everything else. My mother's boyfriend at the time was investigated quite a few times.
That's what I was thinking. It must have been intrusive into your lives and to look back and think it had nothing to do with us. And to now to look back and think that was the motive, is it? Just doesn't that make you crazy that there really was no motive?
What I told Lieutenant Zinke today was, I look back when as a 13-year-old kid and I have to look and I'm standing outside a family member's house and the police are talking to my father and they do it over and over and over and over again. And my parents were divorced at the time.
So my
dad had no ill feelings towards my mother, but
right.
It was just, and that's the thing. I said, you guys never even looked anywhere else except for my mother, my father, and my mother.
Well, see, especially for your mom, because she really was just in the wrong place at the wrong time in every way, but it must have just wrecked your life just not knowing.
It's called not knowing.
How does that leave you guys feeling about law enforcement?
In any profession, you will find people that are good at their job and you'll find people that are not good at their job. And I've learned through life that if, without doing due diligence, you don't know who a duty expert really is. And that's when you've got to press issues like what I'm pressing right now with transparency and encouraging people when I post that contact information that they do go ahead and send in emails and write and, you know, and demand transparency and attention to the story until it's resolved and brought to a conclusion. That is about the only way that I think that you can really handle these type of things. We should be able to trust the police. We were brought up to think that we can trust the police. But based on my personal experiences, I find that questionable.
Let me just intervene real quick. We got a question from the chat room and wanting to know if Larry Newman was ever interviewed by law enforcement regarding the Shar Freeman killings. My information is, from everything I was able to find out, he was never interviewed. I mean, certainly the cops had him many times, but as far as being questioned as for his possible role in these two killings, he was never interviewed specifically for those murders, even after Jim Hager's comments to the police in 81 and Frank Collada's statements in 82. Am I wrong on that? Have you guys ever heard that Newman was actually interviewed or interrogated regarding the Shar Freeman murders?
As far as I know, Denny, that he was never questioned, which, again, is understandable to me. You know, again, going back to Holly's father, Jim was questioned, you know, and Larry Newman was in jail. Well, what was he in jail for? Well, he was pending the Brown murder.
Yes.
You know, so why go talk to the murderer? I don't know.
He certainly was available. I mean, it wasn't like he was on the lam somewhere and hiding. He was. They were in a position to be able to get to talk to Larry if they wanted to. I guess that does beg the question. Listen, we're down. I don't know where the time went here, but we're down just to the last couple of minutes. I do want to say that Paul is going to join me in the Juror 13 chat room right after the show. So anybody who was in there with us and had a question for Paul and couldn't get through, please feel free to ask him. We'll be over there in a couple of minutes. You'll be happy to answer questions, won't you, Paul, by chat room?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Can I ask one very quick question?
Please, Simon, do.
Okay. All right. We have the two sons. You've both talked to Lieutenant Zanke. He's a nice guy. Is it a cover-up? I mean, is he just trying to prevent the old guard getting flack for not doing their job?
Can I answer that one, Paul?
Yeah, go ahead.
I asked him that specific question today. In those exact words, I said, are you covering something up because you don't want to tarnish the name of the police department or lead investigator and everything else? And to his credit, he said, no, I do not care about their reputation. I care about what's happening here and now and with our police department now. He said, if there was some type of cover-up, he will get to the bottom of it.
Gentlemen, we've just been cut off. Our time ran out. Now, what we're saying right here will be archived, and in the playback, we'll watch the live stream.
I'm still here.
Obviously, we should have scheduled this for a little bit longer, but maybe we.
No kidding, guys. I would love to hear this. I mean, we could go on for days about this, really.
And hopefully, we'll be getting some more news from now. Paul, last time. When we were talking by phone, you indicated that they might start giving you more regular updates.
Well, I'm going to be requiring regular updates. It seems that I'm going to have to take the initiative on my own to call, but we're certainly going to do that. And there's going to be some way that I'm going to be posting a status of what's going on without jeopardizing the current investigation. But we're going to get transparency on this.
Okay. Gentlemen, Paul, we probably should mosey on over to Juror 13. Certainly anybody's welcome there if you want to continue the conversation. Holly, would you be willing to come back one more time when something breaks on this?
Sure, and I just like to mention this. Somebody that I know that is in the prison where Larry Newman was imprisoned and where he died. From somebody else, you know, I know somebody who knows somebody who's related to somebody. They did say that McHenry County detectives were in there asking questions, wondering if maybe he had mentioned something to somebody who was incarcerated with him. So they are working on it.
Holly, can I ask you something?
Sure.
At the time, what did you hear or think happened?
I've heard everything from a mob hit to jealous boyfriend and anything and everything in between.
Mob hit, but they weren't involved with the mob at all, were they?
No, well, there's, you know, my father grew up in the south side of Chicago.
Okay.
Which was an Italian neighborhood. So my father certainly knew of people that were connected to the mob.
Got it.
And
the killings were such that's why a lot of people attribute it. They say it was a mob hit, and that's why McHenry County isn't doing anything about it.
That's what you heard too, Holly, at the time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
How the murders were, you know,
right.
How they were committed. And so everybody pretty much, then you can write it off as a mob hit for whatever reasons. Oh, there was gambling going on at the bar or whatever. You know what I mean? There was never a reason, but it's easier to dismiss something thinking that it was, it's almost like if you can say something was a mob hit, then it takes it away from the local police to have to really do anything about it.
Right.
There was something else going on up there, you know.
Got it.
So.
Got it. Thank you so much, you guys.
Okay.
Sure.
You're going to be over in the chat room?
I'm heading there.
Okay. We'll see you shortly.
Okay.
Robert, would you be willing to come back on again when we have some updates?
Yes, I will.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Simon. Thanks a lot. I'm sorry we got so rushed here when the phone lines finally.
I really hope you guys come back because it looks to me like there's a lot of interest out here in this.
Good.
My pleasure,
we'll be back.
Denny.
Thank you very much, Simon. Okay, guys, we better beat feet here. Thanks a million to everybody. We appreciate it. And
where is this chat room?
It's a juror13.com. That's one word spelled out. The 13 is spelled out, juror13.com. And then I think, Simon, if you're a first-time on the I think you do have to register. It's free, but you and get a screen name. Or
whatever. Oh, it's worth it. You guys do it.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. They
yes.
do all kinds of trial watching and case watching.
It's been a pleasure, folks.
Thank you very much.
All right, Simon. Please. Take it easy.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Bye. Bye, Holly.
We'll see you over on Juror 13.
All right. Bye, Robert.
Bye-bye.